Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to LifeRemixedRadio.com. This week is Authors Week, so...
Wake up! Take the pillow from your head and put a book in it! It's time for
LifeRemixedRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Today is Tuesday, August 5th. It's your girl, Cy Brown, broadcasting, coming at you live from Times Square right here in New York City each and every weekday at 12 noon. Oh, I just had to move my keys. coming at you each and every weekday at 12 noon, just bringing you hot topics, some motivation, some inspiration, and all that good stuff. It is certainly my pleasure to have you join me for another power-packed afternoon. Today, well, actually this week, we're talking to authors all week, so it's really good. I'm getting a lot of calls from authors. To all you authors who missed this week, just keep hitting me up. It looks like this is a pretty popular topic and that we're going to have to do something else with authors. I don't know if I can dedicate an entire week and a whole nother week just to authors. I don't have a book show, but, you know, it's all good. You know, I want to talk to as many authors as possible, have you guys come in, talk about your books, talk about all of your stuff. You know, and really kind of let us know what's going on with your projects. Well, y'all know I'm a big follower of politics, and when I wrote my first book, From Hip Hop to Heaven, I read a lot of, like, political, well, I'm a political girl anyway, but I was reading this book called The Price of Loyalty by Ron Suskin, and it was talking about George Bush and how a whole lot of this stuff that's going on, he kind of set up. I'm trying to get to Amazon right now, like while we're online, and find out what the name of his new book is. But he has a new book out today. I would recommend to anybody, pick up this book by Ron Suskin. He, you know, I don't know if he's a Democrat or if he's a Republican or whatever his deal is, but I think one of the good things about his book is that it gives both sides of the argument or gives both sides of what's going on in politics. And I don't want to necessarily say from an outsider's point of view, because he has to be in there, you know, somehow to be able to get this information. I don't even know if Ron Suskin is a journalist. Let me Google him real quickly right now, because I want to make sure I always give you the right information. But all I know is the books that he writes, here it is. Okay, a lot of the books that he writes just on politics and all of those things, they're very, very good books. So, like I said, his last book that I read was The Price of Loyalty, and I just included some of my thoughts and basically some of the stuff that he wrote when I was writing From Hip Hop to Heaven. So, you know, like I said, his book came out today. Pick it up, you know, take a listen. I mean, take a listen. Y'all know I'm on the radio, on Amazon, and everything else. I'm so sorry about that. Take a look at the book and read it, because it's definitely a very good book. Well, I'm going to get into our Daily Thought from the Hill today. You know, just kind of giving us a word of motivation just so we can kind of stay up, stay in tune. Oh, I want to give a shout-out real quickly. I want to give a shout-out to Pastor Darrell L. Hill of Powerful Praise Tabernacle. He is one of the, and he's probably going to laugh if he hears this broadcast, but he is probably like the flyest pastor that I know right now, because, you know, you have this impression of what a pastor looks like and what a pastor is supposed to do. And I remember I spoke at an event that he was producing this past summer, and he invited me in, and his, well, I do have to say, his church and his team are, like, so on point. is very organized and very well run. But anyway, you know, we've had subsequent conversations. I'm trying to get him on the show later on this month just to talk about fatherhood and a couple other things. But let me tell you, when y'all see him, he is like the flyest pastor that I've seen on the scene right now. And it's funny because when I first was introduced to him, the lady, his assistant, Sister Andrea Banks, she's like, oh, there's the pastor right there. And I swear, I thought he was like, you know, just like a regular dude from Brooklyn, just a guy standing there. I didn't realize he was the pastor. So shout out to Pastor Daryl Hill, the pastor of Powerful Praise Tabernacle out in Brooklyn, Brooklyn, New York. He preaches the word of God, doesn't compromise, really does his thing. And so I just want to, you know, say, hey, Pastor, how are you? And hopefully we can make this happen so we can get you on the show. So on that note, let me jump right into today's Daily Thought from the Hill. And for Tuesday, August 5th, the Daily Thought reads as follows, and then we'll just get into our scripture. God's will for me is divine and supreme. In divine mind, there are no thoughts of lack or limitation. When everyone around you says, times are hard, or I do not have enough, turn away, excuse me, and tune into the thoughts of prosperous living. Affirm, God's will for me is supreme good. Thoughts of lack have no place in me. God's will for me is good. Wherever I am, Spirit is there with me to prosper me. I still my thoughts and know that the answers I seek are already unfolding in my life and flowing through my affairs. I am thankful for all of my channels of prospering ideas. As they flow to me, they flow through me. I become a channel of blessing for my family and my community. I am encouraged to share the good I have freely and willingly received. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So that's our daily thought, everybody, for today. So that's what it is. That's what it is. We are going to jump right into what's going on with these authors and books. Before we bring in our guests, we have today joining us Carl Agard, who I met some time ago, who's just like a really, I mean, he's like a fly guy. I don't know, I'm just meeting like the coolest people from Brooklyn. I don't know what it is that, you know, I don't know what women say that, oh, there's no good black men and there's no good men. I don't know. I'm just meeting a whole bunch of real cool dudes, people that are really on their grind, handling their business. So Carl will be joining us very shortly. But before we jump into that, I want to just share a little bit of self-publishing tips. Because I have a lot of people that are kind of, well, how do I publish a book? How do I get my book done? So I'm here to share a couple of things with you today. Before you even start the writing process, you have to have a story. You know, you have to write about something that you know. You have to write about something that you feel passionate about. You have to write just a topic that's compelling enough for people to take their hard-earned money, spend it, and read what you have to say. So I think just the prestige of being an author sometimes overshadows people's ability to write a good story because they want to be a published author, or they want to see their name on a book, or they want the notoriety that comes along with being an author. And I think that's a mistake. I think you have to make sure you have something to say first, and I think you have to make sure it touches an audience. Now, you know, everybody knows my philosophy, pick a niche and get rich. So whatever your niche is, you find what your niche is and you rock it. You know, I always tell you, rock your lane. But you find whatever your niche is and you get rich in your niche. But don't make it so narrow that you're alienating yourself from other or viable streams of income. So you have to have a story, get your story done, and then you keep it moving. Next, I would recommend get a three-ring notebook, and I share this with all of my publishing clients, like, get a three-ring binder first and foremost, because with a three-ring binder, it will enable you to insert pages easily as your thoughts change, because you can start out thinking your book is going to be about one thing, and it's totally going to be about something else. So what I recommend, get yourself some loose-leaf paper, you know, like the same kind of paper you had when you were five, just plain old lined paper with holes in it. Get yourself some loose leaf paper. Get yourself some little tabs, you know, like the little colorful tabs, or you can get all white. I think they have them in colors. They have them in clear where you slip the little pieces of paper in it. Those are going to be the chapters of your book eventually. But for right now, just put them in the binder and put all your paper right on top. And as thoughts come to you, you write it down on that piece of paper. So you literally take that piece of paper and you write on the top of that piece of paper in the big space your thought. And I encourage you to take each independent thought and put them on a separate sheet of paper. Now, if you have a thought that works with something that you've already written, then by all means, you stick it on that piece of paper that matches that thought. However, I recommend take each independent thought and write it on a separate piece of paper because you don't know where your mind is going to take you once it juggles and tosses that independent thought back and forth in your brain. And the reason I recommend using a three-ring binder with pen and paper versus a computer is because you never know. Writing is a very creative process, and you never know when a thought is going to come to you for a book or for a chapter or for a verse or for a topic. So I recommend you take this three-ring binder and it become your best friend until your book is complete. Because just imagine if you're watching something on television and you have a thought come to you, you want to make sure that you can jot that thought down. And once you jot that thought down, you want to be able to refer back to it. Nobody wants to have to turn on your laptop. By the time you do all that, your thought is gone. And you use that. This is the beginning of your writing process. And you use that snippet of information to start developing your other chapters. The last thing I want to share with you is how to write. Before we get into our guest, Carl Agard, who's joining us in a few moments, I want to just make a recommendation on how to write. A lot of people say, well, Saida, I don't have the best English. I tell anybody, just write. Don't think about grammar. Don't think about English. Don't think about paragraphs. Just get it out of your brain and get it in onto paper. Because what happens is if you're sitting there trying to meticulously figure out how this is going to be laid out and what chapters, you're going to lose so much content of your book. You have to understand you may not know what you need to know to get this book done. That's not your lane. That's why they have editors. That's why they have publishers. That's why they have all of these other people in place, the publishing industry. You know, you can Google so much of this information. I mean, it sounds better coming from me and my guest that you're going to hear today. But, I mean, you have to just imagine your job as the author, as the writer, is to get this stuff out of your brain and onto paper. So that just touches on some of the aspects of the writing process. Tomorrow we'll touch on the self-publishing process, just the whole process of self-publishing before we jump into our guest. And then for the remainder of the week, we're going to talk about distribution, marketing, and promotion. So I just want to thank you for joining us for Authors Week. I mean, this is just going to be a dope week this week. Right now I want to bring in our guest, Mr. Carl Agard, who is, you know, just kind of like this fly dude I met. It was so funny because we were just talking on the phone, and y'all know my office is in the city, and I'm like, yo, you want to come by? He says, hi, I'm busy, I'm brokering these deals, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm feeling like a little person, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to make time, let's hook up after 7, I'm going to slide through, we'll kick it for a minute, and then we're going to keep it moving. And I have to say, I get a lot of BS people come through, everybody's trying to sell me the okie doke, and I kind of get tired of it, but he's just like a fly dude. So when I was doing Author Week, I just was like, Carl, please come on my show. And he agreed. So we're going to talk to him about all the stuff that he knows in his brain. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how he was able to get his books done. And if you're on Blog Talk Radio right now, you'll see scrolling at the bottom three of his books. So I think it qualifies him to answer some of your questions. Carl, are you there?
Yeah, no doubt. What's going on, Saida?
What's going on? You know what? I have to apologize to you just for a second because I have an entire team in place that helps me set up my shows. I have a producer and a publicist, and I have an engineer. And the thing is, this is why they get mad at me, because you're like a friend. So I was, you know, sent you a text message like, yo, you want to be on the show? Yeah, you want to be on the show? Okay, boom. And I didn't follow protocol. By not following protocol, Carl sent me a text, Yosai, I'm still coming on the show, right? Whereas if I had done things in order, we would have had everything done. So I just want to say I'm happy and appreciative that you're joining me on the show. I have another guest, Mr. Orande Ash, who's going to be joining us shortly. But, yo, what's up, Carl?
Yo, I'm good. I'm out here in the city that never sleeps, out here grinding, you know how I do. What's up, everybody on Saida Show? This is Carl Agard, real estate broker, author, wealth building columnist. I'm the author of the book, Getting It Real Out of Real Estate, Getting It Real Out of Starting a Business, and Getting It Real Out of Improving Your Credit, about to drop in about 3 weeks.
That's what it is. Well, you know what? Where are you right now in the city? Because I hear you driving.
No, I'm walking around. I'm on 34th Street. I'm trying to find a quiet place to talk, and I can't find a place.
You know where you can go? You're on 34th and what?
I'm on 33rd and 7th.
If you walk into One Penn Plaza, which is 34th between 7th and 8th, my office used to be in that building, you can go into the lobby off to the side, and it'll be nice and quiet.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to walk over there now. Hopefully we don't get lost inside the building, but I'm going to still talk, though. I'm talking and passing out flyers for my books as we speak.
Yeah, let me tell you. You know what? That's what makes my show so fly. Like, this is the epitome of New York City hustle, grind, and do what you have to do to make it happen. I don't know what everybody else does on that on their shows, but, yo, you come to my show, you are getting real from top to bottom. I'm going to jump right into it. And I'm going to share a lot of my personal thoughts and a lot of observations that I made. When I first met Carl, kind of smooth-looking guy, but very unassuming. You are a very powerful person, and the irony is, like, his voice is mellow. But he's a monster in real estate. How did that happen?
Man, I don't even know where to begin. And, yo, definitely thanks for, like, all the good things you've been saying. That made me feel real good today.
I'll take my dinner later. No.
Yeah, you make me feel real good and special. Started out, I guess, growing up. I grew up in the projects in New York, Albany Project. I've always been, like, an entrepreneur spirit. From the age of 16, I had owned a hot dog stand in Prospect Park in New York. I was selling comic books that I drew to my classmates. So I always basically try to have a knack for creating a need and selling that need. And it just followed me throughout my life. But what I do is I just found out that God had gave me a gift of helping others also. So what I do is I try to find a need and match it to people, then also share and teach people and educate them in the process. So, like, even now, I've been doing real estate for about 15 years. I was one of the few real estate brokers that basically educated people on their homes and everything like that, from buying properties to investing properties to, you know, being a better landlord. I always educated people on real estate. So that's why, like, a lot of my books was doing so good once they came out, because it was basically giving people a real blueprint on owning properties the right way, owning a business the right way, and now how to fix your credit the right way without having to pay people an exorbitant amount of money. We're going to end up doing the same thing that you could do in your spare time. And that's what I feel is needed in our community, is the sharing of wealth and information, because we don't do that a lot. And I thought that was the norm, but now I find out that's not normal.
No, it's definitely not. And, you know, I have to say I'm very ignorant when it comes to real estate. It totally goes over my head. And I'm a pretty smart girl, but that is one area I am totally clueless. And I always hear people say, you know, wealth building. I just need a place to live and keep it moving. Like, I never thought real estate can help me build wealth. You know, I have a good insurance policy, so God forbid if something should happen, my children are okay, but how is real estate helping people build wealth? And I don't want my listeners, you know, y'all know I'm always bragging about how smart I am, but this is one area I'm putting it on the air. And you know, this show is downloaded through iTunes because we reach about 1,000 people a day, but I'm putting it out there. I don't know much about real estate. How can real estate build wealth for me?
Yeah, well, a few things. Real estate is a tricky subject. And I mean, I deal with professors, doctors, lawyers, and they don't even know. I had to learn, like, by baptism by fire, and I learned through the grace of God by owning properties from the age of 25. I had over 7 brownstones, and I was worth over $3 million before I turned 30 years old. And I was buying and reselling brownstones, and a couple of years I made $1 million just selling my houses. But I had to learn, and I'm the type of person is I jump in and learn as I go. And I don't look for help. I just try to, like, figure it out myself. And I guess growing up in the projects, I was kind of more like, well, you know, you ask for help is a sign of weakness. And so I just figured it out myself. And that was, I guess, my survival instinct from being from the streets, as well as having my educated smarts from going to Syracuse University and scoring, like, 1,200 on the SATs. So
wow.
I don't like to say that people are ignorant. I think that's a strong word to use, but just a lack of information and knowledge that we could get going to the right places, reading the right books, and going to the right mediums. And, you know, I didn't know anything going in, and people took advantage of me, and then I just took the time out to read books, talk to people, ask questions, and really write things down and research it later on. And that's how I ended up knowing about real estate. And I learn every day. Like, even right now, I'm learning loan modification. That's something that a lot of people are doing now if they're in foreclosure or need help with their mortgages. Now people are doing loan modifications, and I'm connected with some companies that's doing that, and that's a learning process as it is. When I wrote my book, that was a learning process also because I knew nothing about publishing, knew nothing about writing. I had hired people. They beat me. They beat me for money. Then I learned that process from top to bottom, from everything from writing to publishing to distribution to wholesaling. I had to learn that too. So a lot of it is just educating ourselves, taking the time out to learn everything. When you're not sure, asking the right people about, you know, is this the right thing to do or not the right thing to do. Also, getting all knowledge, taking 10 minutes every day to go on a newspaper, go online to read research and everything like that so we're educated. In terms of building wealth, it's not a get-rich-quick thing. See, a lot of books, a lot of late-night TV was having people believe it was a get-rich-quick. You get in, tomorrow you'll be a millionaire. Now, you can make money, and I'm a testament to that, making big money in real estate. But it's a process that you're going to have to learn, and it's not something you just learn overnight. And that's probably what happened over the years, why a lot of people are caught out now with real estate, that they took it as an ATM machine, a get-rich-quick thing. And that was the motivating factor of me writing, getting the real out of real estate, was because so many people was getting into real estate thinking that it was a get-rich-quick thing, and they got beaten, they lost money, they lost their credit. And what I did with my books is I teach people not only you can make a lot of money, but this is how you keep your properties, this is how you do the deals the right way, this is what's going to go right, this is what's going to go wrong. And even if you basically want to just buy your first home, I want to know what happens when I buy my first home. That's what's in my book, how you can just basically take the book, go to the closing, and understand the closing and all the settlement statements and everything like that.
It's, you know what, it's tough because I hear, and I know, you know, we're talking about authors, but I really want to, you know, I cherish the time that we're talking right now because just being an author, I believe, doesn't qualify you as an expert. I tell anybody, I can ghostwrite a book for you, and I do a lot of ghostwriting, and that doesn't make you any smarter. But one of the things that I'm very grateful and appreciative of is that you wrote about something that's relevant to me, and you're writing about something that's relevant to our people. And I'm not trying to make it just, oh, it's a black people thing, but something that's relevant to people that can help us learn and grow. I am a big believer in the perpetuity and continuance and growth of humans. Like, if we, you know, the Bible says we perish for lack of knowledge. I can't go around and condone anybody say, well, I don't know, I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know about real estate, but that's why, you know, when I bumped into you, I'm like, yo, can you share a good word with me? And I think the beauty of the society that we live in now is, all right, bust it. You could call, if you don't know about real estate, pick up one of Carl's books. If you don't know about it, holler at him. You know, maybe he could do some consultation, help you out, help you buy your first property. Is that something that you do?
Yes. Like I said, I'm first and foremost still a real estate broker, also an entrepreneur that just happens to be a good writer. And my book could basically educate people. I still help people buy their first home. I do seminars in Brooklyn with a nonprofit called Vanguard Urban Improvement Association and Bedford-Stuyvesant, where we're educating first-time home buyers on the right programs to use. There's been a lot of changes in mortgages and real estate this year, so we're updating people to let them know this is what you have to do going forward. And then also for people that are losing their homes or worry about losing their homes, we're educating people on what to do, because there's more people out there that's taking the lack of knowledge. And like I said, I don't like to use the word ignorance, but the lack of knowledge that people have, and they're using it for their advantage and lining their pockets. And that's what happened with this whole mortgage crisis, where I'm just one man. I'm trying to get out there and educate people to let them know that the power of real estate, the power of owning your own business and being an entrepreneur, even if you don't want to run your own business all day long like myself and Saida do, you just want to basically have a side business, a side hustle for 2 hours a day. You know, my book, Getting Real Out of Starting a Business, teaches you how to do that. If you want to fix your credit, you want to know the right things about fixing your credit, my new book coming out is helping people with that, because, you know, people are spending a lot of money doing the wrong things in terms of eliminating debt. And there's a lot of myths out there about eliminating debt and fixing your credit that I dispel with my new book coming out also.
Yeah, I got it. I definitely want to get that one, because I'm feeling a credit crunch. Just as being a business owner, I'm leveraging my credit to continue to stay in business. Just, you know, just to keep maintaining, keep functioning. And I remember reading in one of Donald Trump's books, being in debt is not a problem, but paying your debt is.
Is
so
right.
People think it's criminal. I use the word criminal loosely, but they, I don't want to get in debt. But debt is good. And if I'm saying something that's off, let me know. But what I was reading is that it's okay to be in debt. You're always going to be in debt. If you live, you're going to owe somebody, be it your public service bill, like in Jersey it's PSE&G, New York it's Con Ed, your cable bill. You're always going to have debt. But it's how you manage it. Is that true, or is it just not good to be in debt?
Well, it's good to manage it, because we have a notion. We say you're not somebody until you owe somebody. So we're going to have debt just to even get a FICO score. And, you know, as an entrepreneur and doing real estate, you know, I couldn't do real estate unless I owed the banks, because I had to get the mortgages. I use debt to basically open my businesses. We call it OPM, other people's money. So that's just the way of life, the thing to how to manage the debt and how to basically keep it manageable where it's not consuming yourself. And I'm feeling you also. I own 3 different businesses. You know, things are not going as fast as they need to be right now, and you're using debt and you're paying Peter to pay off Paul.
Yep.
But you have to manage it, and that's what I try to do with my books. And it's what's so real about it is that I'm not someone that just says, hey, my life is perfect, and, you know, I have an 850 score. In my book, Getting Real Out of Improving Your Credit, I tell you that, you know, I fluctuate from 550 to 690. When I make a lot of money, I spend it on clothes and cars and everything like that. I just keep it real, and that's why my book's called Getting Real Out of Something. But I teach people how I manage it and how I go to my experts, and my experts tell me what to do, what not to do, and then I share the information that people charge you thousands and thousands of dollars for. I share it just for about $10 to $15 with my books. But it's not bad to be in debt. It's trying to manage it and not getting over your head. And to make sure that the debt you use is making you more money, it's good to have business debt. You know, get a business card, business lines of credit, SBA loans to start your business. Then with that, you use that towards a money-making business, so it circulates. And then when your business gets manageable, then you start paying down that debt. Then you can leverage that to get more debt to own up a bigger business, but you just got to make sure that you're able to handle it, that you have a system in place, staffing in place, so that, you know, it's not getting in over your head.
Yeah, that's true, because that's how I funded most of my business. And luckily, I was able to secure a business loan from a friend, really. Well, like, just from somebody that knew me, knows my work ethic, and they believed in me, and they dropped some money. But now, you know, I had a couple-month window, and now I'm paying that loan back. And I was like, you know, I hate it, but I have to make that debt payment. You know, I have to make that business loan payment back every month, no matter what, because I may need to go to this person again. I have to maintain my relationship with this person, let this person know everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm working on, because if not, then the relationship gets compromised. So I think just writing a book, here's a thing too, Carl, and I'm saying this not to blow your head up or anybody else's head. It's one thing to write a book, but it's another thing to write a book and then to be able to connect with people, either whether they're speaking or whether they're out shaking hands and kissing babies, because anybody can write a book about perfect example, yesterday I had a guy on the show, Dr. Tart, on how to marry Mr. Right. There's a million, gajillion books on how to marry the right one. But
right.
This guy is personable. He's really nice. He's in Atlanta. He was great to talk to. He's going to make so much more money. Do you find that you're able to sell more books better by connecting with your audience, or is it just that you have your books in stores and you roll that way?
Nah, most of my books is on the trunk of my Benz and on my website. And when I do seminars across the country.
Did y'all hear him say the trunk of my Benz? Did that just go over my head? You said from the trunk. I thought when you're like a struggling author, you have like, you know, like me, a Honda Accord. He's like, nah, you know, I'm selling from the trunk of my Benz.
No, well, really, I everything was supported by real estate money, because I've been in real estate for so long. So the real estate portion supports me as a starving writer. But the starving writer helps support the business, because I meet so many people that they come back and do business with me as a real estate. But really, you got to connect with people. Anyone could go into Barnes & Noble and buy real estate for dummies or stuff like that. The thing with my book is that it's real. You could pick up my book. It's an easy read. I'm coming, not even say from the streets. I mean, anybody, any color, race, nationality could really read the book and understand about real estate, business, and credit. But what it is that I'm real. I'm not someone in an ivory tower that you can't relate to. I'm out there still in the streets. I'm on the streets right now doing deals. I'm glad-handing people, giving them flyers. But that's the only way you know how to write an effective book, is if you know what the average man is going through. Getting real out of improving your credit that's coming out, I'm dealing with people that got to decide, do I pay my light bill or do I eat?
Yeah.
And, you know, but so many books are saying, oh, man, just pay off your credit. Just pay your bills on time. Be responsible. But what if you're faced with difficult situations? You need to know how to deal with that. What if you're faced with a situation of buying a house and you don't know what to do? You have tenants that's not paying you, and you got to decide, do I pay my mortgage or I walk away? That's what I address with my books, because I've been through that. You know, a lot of people that wrote books on real estate, they're marketing guys, keeping it real with you. These are guys that sold a couple of houses. They made some good money doing it, but they know how to market and sell snake oil to the masses. I don't do that with my books. I tell people, this is what's going on, and this is what you need to do. Take it or leave it. And people come back and they say, you know what, I can relate to it because it's real.
But see, that's the thing, too, like, you know, I understand a lot of things, you know, and I'm happy that you're demystifying a lot of these topics and demystifying a lot of these things. So is now a good time to get into real estate? Because coming from my perspective of somebody who, you know, is not very familiar, but we may have a little dough we can play with, is now a good time or is it a bad time?
Well, it's a little of both. If you have good credit, you have a good job, you have a nice set of money sitting in your 401k plans, and, you know, you can show that you're a steady, responsible person, now is a good time, and it's a great time because there's not a lot of competition. The rates are still lower than when I first started doing real estate. When I first started doing real estate in the mid-90s, rates was like 13%, 12%. Now it's about 6%. Even if you have a couple of blemishes, they're putting an emphasis back on the FHA program, which is a government-backed program for mortgages, where you just put 3% down or you could get a gift for down payment. But, you know, over the years they got lost and then predatory lending had kicked in. So if you have a good job, good credit, and you have some money saved up, now's a good time, and now prices are starting to go down. Now, if you have some issues, now's a bad time. So take this time out to, you know, correct your issues. No, go in there and pre-order my book, Getting It Real Out, Improving Your Credit, and go through the steps to, you know, get your credit back to where it needs to be. Get yourself situated on a job. So take these next couple of years to really get right. Then by that time, the market will be even better because a lot of the prices have gone down. If you're a seller, honestly, it's not a good time to sell because it's a buyer's market now. So you're not going to get the top prices you got in the past. But everything's in cycles. You know, I tell everyone everything's in cycles, just like when it was good. I told people this is a cycle. It's going to go bad. It goes up and down, up and down. When I was in real estate in the beginning, in the mid-90s, it was a bad cycle. It wasn't a lot of buyers, not a lot of sellers. It was a 13%, 12% interest rate. You had to put 5% down. But, yeah, I managed to do creative financing to get 7 houses. And then things took off. And then that's how I was able to make so much money because I had bought low. And Donald Trump one time said when I was at the Donald Trump seminar, I had a booth there, he said, you make your money in real estate when you buy, not when you sell. You have to learn to buy smart. You know, you don't buy high and hope it comes around. And that's another thing that I promote in my book, Getting Real Out of Real Estate, how to buy smart, you know, and get yourself in a good situation, not get yourself in a situation and hope it turns around.
But can you use any of those, like, anecdotes in other business ventures? Like, you know, the things that you're offering in real estate, have you been able to use what you learned in real estate in any of your other endeavors?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's how, like, Getting Real Out of Starting a Business was spawned. My second book was because, you know, real estate was a business, but then I helped so many people develop their business. And just the mindset that you got to have as being an entrepreneur owning a multi-million dollar making business. And a lot of that, thanks a lot, bro. A lot of people basically could use that model because when you own a property, even if you're living in it, you're basically running your own business. You have to manage it, make sure you're making more than enough to cover the bill. If you have a tenant in your property, you're collecting rent. So basically you're a property management person. It's smart to incorporate your business so that you get more advantages on your taxes. And a lot of the steps, the hustle, the drive that I do, I got that from real estate. When I had self-published my book, you just take that same model. You get up, you do everything that you do every day, even if it's 30 minutes a day. If you every day, and this is for everybody out there that want to start a business, if you work at your business every single day, no matter what, even if it's 30 minutes, even if you're going online to find out better contacts or you're making 5 or 6 phone calls, you will have progress each and every month. What a lot of people do is they sell themselves short by going at it for a little bit, not putting the full effort and time into it. Then they say, you know what, this don't work, I'm going to jump into something else. If you just take that time into it little by little every single day, you will have progress.
You know, that's one of my I don't even know what to call him, like a friend in business, I guess I want to, just another business entrepreneur that I know. Okay, that's the best way to put it. He has this program called The Slight Edge, and The Slight Edge is where he teaches people how to excel in your personal and professional lives. And he says whatever you focus your attention on will manifest itself. And this is what he said. We were talking about sales. And it sounds so simple when you really hear it. If you and I, Carl, are both salespeople, right, and we work from 9 to 5 every day, well, you get in at 8:55 and I get in at 9 o'clock. So when 9 o'clock comes, you've already gotten your cup of coffee, you've already checked your email, so 9 o'clock comes, you start making your phone calls. Now me, I come in at 9, got to get my coffee, say hello to everybody, it's now 10 after 9. You now have 15-minute head start on me. Now, at the end of the day, it's 5 o'clock. It's everybody's shutting down their computers. They're going home. At 5 o'clock, you make a point to make 2 more phone calls. Now, by the time you shut your computer down and everything, it's now, say, 10 after 5. But if you do that 5 days a week, 14 days of pay period, 30 days a month, you cannot – the universal laws cannot help, but you manifest more than what I get because you're putting more effort to it. And I tell anybody, when you run a business, you don't sleep. Not physically sleep. You always have to be on guard and watch and just make that effort every single day. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When you run a business, you're working all the time. Even if you got a 9-to-5 job, you're always thinking of ways of improving your business. And what I tell people, like, if you have a 9-to-5 job and stuff I say in my book, Getting Real Out of Starting a Business, when you have a 9-to-5 job, what you do from 5 to 9 is very crucial. So granted, you may have kids, you may have to wind down a little bit, but you know, what you do, decide, do I watch TV? Do I go on the internet and just like go on MySpace and go on the gossip, you know, media takeout, or do you take that hour to work on your business? And that's what people don't understand. You could just take 1 hour a day after work from 10 to 11, 11 to 12, and work on your business. Just develop a business that it works for that. And make sure it's something that you like, not something
right.
that, oh, everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too. Do something that's your passion. You know,
right.
if you like selling stuff on the internet, you develop a website. You sell your stuff on your website because now you know that you don't have enough time to run around face-to-face. Then you just find 1 hour each day to see how can I drive more traffic to my website. And that
mm-hmm.
point, they go to my website, then I'm making money on PayPal, and that money's coming in while I'm at work. Then on your Saturday, you then say, okay, now I could take 3 hours. So do I wake up 8 in the morning and watch cartoons for 3 hours, or do I work on my business? So you get up at 8 in the
right.
morning, and then from 8 to 11, you work on your business. At that point, you still got time to be with your kids, go to the mall, but at least
yep.
you say, Dan, you know what? I've been working on my business.
Yeah, I have to agree. And for me, my business is my life. You know, I speak for a living, but I also secure speakers for events. And the thing about that is I'm always looking for opportunities. I'm, you know, it's not even necessarily for me, because believe it or not, I have somebody that does that component for Saida. But just running a business, I always have to be looking, is there an opportunity? And one time this guy told me years ago, I used to own a beeper store like years ago, and this guy came into my store and he was watching me with customers. You know, he was waiting. And he was like, Sai, I've been watching you and you are such a hustler. And I felt so offended because I felt like he was calling me like a shucks or a, you know, like a, I don't know the right word, like, you know, I'm trying to get over. He was like, no, I admire that in you. Like, you don't miss an opportunity. And I think for those of you that are considering starting a business, you don't want to be perceived as a shark or an opportunist, but at the end of the day, that's really what you are. That's really what you're looking for, opportunity to develop yourself, your company, your brand, your mailing list. I mean, in a second, in 1 second when I'm out, I have to make sure I make the best use of my time and make sure the people that I'm networking with and the people that are in my social circles can help me grow, not necessarily putting money in my pocket, but help me grow personally and professionally. I want to touch, Carl, do you ever attend, like, networking events and stuff like that, or you don't even waste your time?
Oh, man, that's my lifeblood, man. I at least try to do at least 2 events a week. Whether it's a magazine launch party so I can promote my book, a real estate seminar that somebody else is giving to promote my business. Even now when I go to the club, that's a networking opportunity right there. I mean, hey, I always have my flyers on me, my business cards, and in my book, Getting Real Out of Starting a Business, I have The Art of Networking. I said if you are a true business person, you have to at least go to at least 2 networking events a week, or maybe even 1 at least. Because that's the only way you're going to get the business out there. You know, you might not get that hit then, but you got to do the numbers. The more you're out, the more people see your face, the more that they know that you're, you know, that person to know in that business. The more that you're putting out flyers, people get discouraged. They say, oh, man, I put out all these flyers. I didn't get nothing back. You just never know. Like, I remember when I was doing my real estate business back in the day, I put a bunch of flyers in a car wash. And then you know what? A guy called me. He was a mortgage broker. He said, hey, you know, I'm a mortgage broker. I see you're a real estate broker. If you have anybody that need loans, holler at me. And sure enough, we did a ton of business from that point on, and he's doing stuff for me that day. Yeah, I made some of the craziest contacts in the weirdest places because I throw out my business cards, my flyers everywhere. I'm always out and about. Even how we met, it's a couple of degrees of separation from me doing something different. Like I took 10 minutes to put myself on blackspeakers.com. And then I went to, like, Houston. I threw flyers everywhere in Houston at the book fair. Then you got to me. Now I hear him on a show, and now we're friends. We're, like, bonded friends. We end up knowing a lot of the same people. But that's opportunities that people miss when they're owning their own business. They don't keep it in their mind. What you got to do is you have to basically run and talk about your business all the time. From the time you wake up and eat cereal to the time you go to bed, you got to always talk about your businesses because they might not use it right then and there, but they may use it down the road. I'm getting calls for real estate from people that got my car 5 years ago.
You know what? I'm going to say two things. Dropping C Radio, who is one of my – oh, you know what, Dropping Seed, I missed your show Saturday. I am so sorry, but I did not realize I had a prior engagement, so I will be listening to your show this Saturday. But Dropping Seed Radio has a show, and he's always tunes in every single day to my show. But his comment today says, you can't be shy and reserved running your own business. The hungry is not ashamed to say so. I don't know whoever heard at the top of the show. I was thanking this pastor from Brooklyn, Daryl Hill, who's the pastor of Powerful Praise Tabernacle. Now, bust what I'm getting ready to tell you, and this feeds exactly what you said, Carl. A couple of years ago, I was working at a hotel, and I was selling hotel rooms, and I was really doing my thing. This lady called, and she wanted to book our hotel for her pastor's anniversary. And I don't know, I just connected with her. I was like, yo, you know, we don't have the space, but I would love to help you. And I said, by the way, you know, I wrote a book for young people. You know, I'm a Christian, whatever, whatever. Which, you know, can I send you a copy? She's like, oh, you know, that would be nice. You know, sometimes we have people come in. Never spoke with the lady again, but I added her email address. She said, well, just put me on your mailing list. I added her to my email address, you know, like my email database.
Right.
This spring, now this is 2008, she sent me an email, Saida, we're hosting a street festival in Brooklyn. Would you like to come host it? We don't have a lot of money, but we want you to be there. And I was like, you know, all right, I'm free, I'll do it. Now, I have not worked in a hotel since 2005. It's now 2008. Do you know, not only did they book me, they did a whole media campaign around me. They did the flyer, took my picture, I'm hosting the event, put it in the newspaper, put it on the internet. So now I'm getting all this publicity that I'm the host of this big event. Not only that, now I'm working with the church on other projects. So this has turned out to be a very fruitful relationship. All because in 2005, I opened my mouth. And I kind of knew I was getting out of my job anyway. So it was really at the point where I had to make that decision, am I ready to quit my job and go out on my own? But the point is, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, you just never know where business comes from. And that's what I see a lot of, because like in my book, I write about what people do right, what people do wrong in their business, especially their small business. And a lot of times they don't open their mouth. No one knows unless you open your mouth, and you just have to tell everybody. Even you might think that, you know, they ain't going to want it. Another thing is, don't even turn somebody off. You just never know. Like, I give crackheads my business card. And let me keep it real with you. It sounds crazy, but
You're definitely from Brooklyn.
I was in Brooklyn. No, it's going to make sense. I was in Brooklyn, you know, especially when I first started my business. I gave crackheads a lot of my cards. Now, people are like, how could you give a crackhead your business card? They don't got a job or credit. But you know what? They know everybody. They know everything happening on the block. And you know what them dudes did? They said they knew everybody who house was in foreclosure, who house they wanted to get rid of, because, yo, they was breaking and stealing the pipes.
No.
Or some people, vacant houses, was paying the crackheads to stay there to basically protect the house. So lo and behold, one day, some crackheads came back to me. They had my car. They said, look, we have a house on Monroe Street for $25,000. It's a bad house. These people want to get rid of it. Their mama gave them the house. They need money. You're the only person we know that have the money that could buy it right now. And sure enough, I bought the house, $25,000, had a ton of title issues, but I ended up selling that same house 4 years later for $325,000.
What?
Yes, and it's in my book.
What?
Yes.
Say what?
Yep. I also had on Monroe Street, and I got it through the grace of crackheads.
You know what, I'm sorry, I keep laughing because I'm thinking crackheads, like, you know, from Samuel Jackson's book. I mean, you know, from Samuel Jackson and Spike Lee's movie. I didn't mean for Samuel Jackson's book, but I'm thinking of Samuel Jackson when him and Halle Berry were crackheads. Or you think of Chris Rock, or you think of Dave Chappelle when they're playing, like, crackheads. Like, how can a crackhead, you know,
help push it along. But I guess you're right. They do know everybody in the neighborhood. And, you know, we're always, just by virtue of the show, we want to pray for these people to heal themselves of that ill. But I guess this definitely shows you can't stop at anything when you're running your business. And, and you're right. They do know everybody. They do know everything that's going on in the hood. And I guess that's the epitome of a hustle.
Yeah, and you know what else, too, was being real about it? Is because I respected them. You know what they told me? They said, you was the only person that wasn't judgmental, and you respected us, and said, look, here's my card. If you know anyone doing anything in the neighborhood, call me. I got you. And they got paid well off that deal. But later on, they said, you know what? Yo, you was the only person that respected us. Everybody else would look down on us, and, yo, you looked at us as a real person and said, hey, you know, if I ever know of anything, come holler at me. And, yo, to this day, they're still loyal to me.
Get out of here. Well, I have some great news for you. I just got hit up in the chat room with an exclamation point from Drop and See Radio. I'm getting his book with a bunch of exclamation points after it. So, all right, Drop and See, now you got to get it because I done told him what you said on the chat line. Carl, how can he get your book?
Okay, he could get it on my website, carlagard.com. That's CarlAgard.com. Also, I have another website, which is my company, AdelphiPublishingGroup.com. So you can get my books both ways. Right now, all my books are 25% off with free shipping and handling. So you even get a better deal than Amazon, Borders, and Barnes & Noble, who sell them at $20. And also, you also get the books autographed by me personally.
So it's, wait a minute, I just put them in the chat room so that way people can see it. So it's AdelphiPublishingGroup.com?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So I just put the two websites in the chat. And don't forget, everybody, this show can be downloaded through iTunes. Put it in your podcast. So that's additional advertising, Carl. We want to make sure that you sell some books coming up and through. And anybody that comes on my show, I tell everybody every single day, if you hear them on my show, they have been fully vetted, that I know that they're coming at you with some real stuff, and we don't have okie-dokie people just coming on here pushing products. We have people that really want to come on and make a difference in our community and in the lives of other people. We are down to the last 8 minutes of the show, Carl. I just want you to, you know, if you could, you know, to share some of your personal tips of wisdom for some of our listeners, people that really, it doesn't even necessarily have to be real estate, but just people that want to start business, whatever insight that you've gained that was like, this is just too good not to share. Can you drop that on us before we end up the show?
Yeah, no doubt. One thing I always tell people when I do my speaking engagements and when I sign my books, I tell people, never give up. Never give up on your dreams. It's tough, but it builds your character. You learn from your mistakes. I see a lot of people that I meet, they say, you know, this will never happen. They listen to a lot of naysayers and doubters. Something bad happens, they throw their hands up and give up. That's what God puts in our place to help you build your character. Without having the bad, you won't recognize the good. And that's my principles that I live by every day. I welcome the bad things that happen because then that lets me know who the people I need to keep close. Plus, I know when to recognize when the good situations are coming because I say, you know what? This situation is a whole lot better than the last one. And so I'm going to realize this opportunity and transgress it. Because when the real estate was real good, I took heed to it. You know, I said, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in when it was bad. I've been through a lot, so I'm going to really enjoy this ride and bring a lot of people with me. So I always tell people, no, don't give up on your dreams. Find something that's your passion. Don't get into something because everybody else is doing it or you think you're going to make quick money. Find something that you really like and then basically master it. Master the art of owning your own business and then do it every single day and you'll have some results. And when you do it as a result, don't forget about the little people like me and Saida. If you have a house and you're in trouble, go on my website, carlagard.com. You drop me an email. My email address is carlagardbooks@gmail.com. We're helping people with their houses, whether they want to sell, whether they want to keep their home. We're doing a lot of loan modifications. I'm connected with a great loan modification company that can help you out across the nation. We go and renegotiate your terms with your bank, and that's something that passed in the law, but people don't know about this. So people should take advantage of it, and basically they can contact me. You know, I normally don't do this, but I could give out my number. They could reach me at 347.
Hold on, because I'm putting all this. I'm not going to put your number in the chat room. I put your website, Adelphi Publishing Group, and Carl Agar Books at Gmail. You could give it to them verbally, but so if y'all listening, you have to write it down because I'm not putting his phone number in the chat room.
Right. My number is 347-605-9099. So if you're in help and you need help with your mortgage, give us a call. We can help you modify your loan. And then after that, we put you into credit repair and debt consolidation. Then lastly, check me out. My radio show is on Tuesday. Matter of fact, it's later today at 7 o'clock. RealMoneyRealIssuesRadio.com from Blog Talk Radio. Check me out. I talk about business, real estate. And today, Saeed, I'm interviewing your boy Hotep. So we're talking about his book, Hustle the Ten Commandments and Hustle While You Work. So he'll be on my show later on today.
Oh, I got to definitely tune in. It's RealMoneyRealIssuesRadio.com.
Yeah, and it's 7 o'clock tonight.
It's 7, not 6?
Nah, I moved it to 7 today. Just today.
Okay, so just for today. Yeah, because, I have to listen. You know, I don't want to listen to your show, but, yeah, that's my buddy. So I definitely have to holler at him. And you know what? I do check out your show, and I think it's just amazing. I have this whole thing that I've been talking about black men ever since that show Black in America aired on CNN. And, I think I picked the platform of black men because I think you guys get such a raw deal. And yesterday when I was speaking with Dr. Tart about, you know, how women are saying there's no good black men and all of this crazy foolishness, I'm just happy that you're in real estate, you're professional. And it sounds kind of cliche-ish, but you're articulate. I mean, you know, so I can't buy into the fact that nobody out there can find men or black men or respectful men because they are out there. And I hope everybody that listens to my show understands that we do uplift our people. We do try to share a good word. We do try to share the knowledge and the information that's readily available. Everybody's not going to pick up a book, and I understand that. Everybody's not going to read From Hip Hop to Heaven. Everybody's not going to read Carl's books. But at least you catch us on the radio, catch us on iTunes, catch us on the Internet, catch us on MySpace. Just make sure you do whatever you can to uplift yourself. Carl, thank you. It's been an absolute blessing having you on the show today. Good looking out, and I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. God bless you and love you, babe.
No doubt. Bye-bye. Everybody, just thank you so much for tuning in, listening. That's Carl Agar. He has a ton of books. I left a lot of information in the chat room for you. You know, another great show. Tomorrow we have another great author joining us. This is just a beautiful thing. I thank God every single day because I can't imagine I have a radio show that I broadcast live every single day and that people spend their time, especially like Drop and See Radio, who actually tunes in and listens every single day faithfully. I don't take that lightly. You know, you can't get your time back, so I do want to say thank you to that. Before we wind up today's show, I just want everybody to go to my website, sybrown.com, join our mailing list, so that way we can keep you posted of everything that we're doing here on Life Remix Radio. It also will give you an opportunity to see my travel itinerary, to see where I am, to see what things I'm working on, so I really appreciate it. Ms. V on the scene, I just see you popped in. We're getting ready to end the show, but thank you for checking us out today, and may God bless you. Now, just before we leave, just want to get our prayer in. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. And wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart always be acceptable in your sight. Peace, everybody, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye.